All right. It's good to be here this morning.
We really been looking forward to coming back. We appreciated the tent revival that we had here with you all. And looking forward to coming back and being in church here. And been praying about this revival. Honored that you would ask us to come. Appreciate your pastor, his wife, and their families, the Snow family, Marquis family, have been our friends for longer than I can remember, or I want to remember this morning at least. Amen. I can remember when I could tell you some stories on your pastor when he was a kid. So that's kind of dating where we are. Amen. But we've been praying about it. I really wanted to come. And as the pastor's already said, we need revival. We've got to have revival. We've got one space of grace to have it in. Things are happening in America that are shaking, that are stirring. You might not be aware that we had a Supreme Court justice that died yesterday. And he was the stabilizing force for conservatism on that court. It can only get worse. As time goes on now. It's just one more piece of the puzzle that lets us know we've not got much longer to get ready. Amen. I appreciate the Sunday school this morning. I did not know where you would be, but when we were praying about this first service this morning, I settled on this thought, and so there was so much of what Brother Snow said in his teaching this morning that goes along with it. And so today, if you'll turn with us to 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, I want to read some very familiar scripture there. And we say this all the time, a very familiar portion of scripture. But if you are what you ought to be and been saved very long, the scripture ought to all be very familiar to you. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 7 and verse number 8. And if you are able to do so, would you stand with us for the reading of the Word, just in honoring the reading of the Word. The Apostle Paul is talking. He's now fastly closing to the end of his life. And he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord at that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. The Lord will help me this morning. I want to preach to you on a thought that I've entitled from this text, The Triple Crown Winner. Father, we're here this morning partly because of the kind invitation of this congregation, this great pastor and family, but God, more so because we are indebted to you. Woe be unto me if I preach not the gospel. Therefore, not limelight nor applaudus, but, O God, that anointing of the Holy Ghost come upon this service this morning and throughout this meeting. And we'll give you the praise and the honor and all the glory. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the congregation said, Amen. Amen. We take our text and our thoughts sometimes from, my master looked out one day and saw a farmer scattering seed and preached a message on a sower went forth to sow. And so we take our thoughts sometimes from common things. It was years ago I was preaching the camp meeting in Richlands, Virginia, preaching the day services. And Brother Samuel, I'd prayed through the night and it was as dry. I was as empty, and you've been there. But I was about to face a congregation of several hundred people in the morning, and I didn't know what I would say. I'd finally managed to go into a fitful sleep about 4 o'clock in the morning, and right out under my window, a dog got to barking. Woke me up. I listened to that thing, and I thought, you probably ain't worth nothing. You probably ain't more than just a biscuit eater. But when I said that, I thought of a story that I had read when I was a boy. About a dog that a litter of pups that was born and to this great plantation owner, and he trained or he competed with bird dogs, And he came by the tenant farmer that was taking care of those and his boy, and there was a little runt there. He kicked it out away from the rest of them and said, get rid of that one. It'll never be anything but a biscuit eater anyway. Long story short, the end of that story is that boy stole that little puppy away and didn't kill it, but took it out and hid it out. He fed it. He took part of his own food and gave to it. He trained it until that biscuit eater was, he would say to it, they said you was a biscuit eater. He said, but you're a champion. The end of that story was that the world hunt, that dog won the world hunt that year. And I took that title, so I got thinking about that, and I preached on you were, but you are, or you shall be. You are, but you shall be. And I entitled it The Biscuit Eater. Time would go on for a long period of time. Over here, Brother Mike Maxim Jr. was roofing a roof, and I had a group working for him, and they were all playing tapes and gospel singing while they were doing it. Along came this boy looking for a job and looking as rough as he was, you know. He said, I need work. And of course, they needed help. And Brother Mike, he said, now look, said, we're holiness people. We're Pentecostal people. We're people that live. And said, our music here is gospel music. And we'll be playing preaching songs. There's no vileness, no smoking. He said, that's all right. And one day, he was on that roof of working, and they were playing The Biscuit Eater. The pastor looks around and says, he's there crying. And he said, is that right? Is what that man's saying the truth? Is that the truth? He said, yes, sir. And he said, what's the matter? He said, I'm under conviction again. He got down and prayed and got saved. Went on for church for a while and was doing the greatest ever was. One day he came into Brother Mikey's office and said, Brother Mikey, Brother Pastor, I got to tell you something. He said, I went as far as I can go with God without coming clean. And God told me if I wanted to go to heaven, I had to do it right. He confessed to him that he had been that he had killed a woman, murder, and that it was cold case, absolutely no way tied to him. But God had said, "You've got to come clean," and so he did. And as far as I know, he may still be in prison. But he went there saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, teaching the Bible to those around him there. Amen. He started out as a biscuit eater, but he ended up. Amen. And so I want to talk to us this morning about becoming the winner of the Triple Crown. Now, the Triple Crown is the greatest feat in horse racing. It's the dream of every horse racing owner that his horse will become the Triple Crown winner. There is the Kentucky Derby, which is the most famous race probably in the world, has more celebrities and political figures there than anywhere. It is the first race of this Triple Crown. Following it is the Belmont Stakes, and then the Preakness is the end of that. And last year in 2015, last year, a horse won that race. Won all those three races for the first time since 1978. His name was the American Pharaoh, and he became a Triple Crown winner. I got to thinking about that, and one day I was looking at Paul. Here's what he comes down to the end and talking about that. And so I want to talk to us this morning about the Triple Crown winner for the Church of the Firstborn. And I might go to the time, and I'll get you out of here, but I want to talk to you. Paul said, amen, there's three crowns here that I want you to understand that every Christian needs to get. The first crown, he said, is the victor's crown. I have fought a good fight. Amen. It is a warfare, my brother. Amen. To make it to heaven. Warfare. Fight of faith. Amen. The war is for the soul of man. Amen. And it's death to sin or it's dead in sin. And there is no in between. Amen. He didn't come to save you in your sins. He came to save you from your sins. And he came to call you into the battle. Amen. This crowd of the Christian. Amen. To win the victory. Victor's crown, you must first of all understand
that there is some divine requirements. Amen. Our lesson this morning made reference, help me, Holy Ghost, made reference, amen, to the armory, to the camouflage uniform, if you will, and to the weapons there in Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Amen. And he told us also in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, that there was some other things. There was some perseverance. Amen. Endure hardness as a good soldier. One of the mistakes that we're making in the hour we're living in is to try to make it so sweet. Listen, amen, it is free grace, but it's not cheap grace. Amen. Salvation is free, but it's a battle for your brother. Don't expect the world to smile upon you. In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Amen. It is a fight, my friend. Amen. He that warreth a good warfare entangleth not himself with the affairs of this world. Amen. Our theme song ought to still be, take this whole world, but give me Jesus, and I won't turn back. I won't turn back. I don't understand. I know people do. I don't understand quitting. I don't understand throwing it in the towel, because I was brought up to say, the harder you hit, the harder you hit back. Amen. There is no, listen, I signed up for the duration. I signed up for the battle all the way. Ann's sister-in-law that's married to Brother Mike Roberts now, she had a nephew, and all his life he lived and breathed Army. All through school, and when he got old enough and went through all the training and preparation, he joined the Marines. When Josh took the test for the Marines, he was one of the highest scoring people. He had they said, listen, son, what branch do you want to be in these Marines? What do you want to do? We want to send you to college or whatever. He looked at him and said, sir, I want you to put a field pack on my back. Give me an M16 and drop me in the middle of Iraq. Amen. I was born to fight, and to fight's what I want to do. Amen. I am a Marine. Amen. And he went through it all. When they pulled the statue down of Saddam Hussein, he was standing there. He thought all that. But I like what he said. I was born to fight. Amen. Church, Paul said, I have fought a good fight. It's been a warfare. Amen. There's been a lot of things going on. Amen. But I have fought the fight. This fight is, I got to hurry. This fight is, we are a body of believers, but it's also a personal conflict. And sometimes it comes down to just you and the enemy. Amen. I can't help you. I would if I could. I'd run interference for some young people when they're fighting today, but I can't do it. Amen. You've got to have it yourself. You've got to win it for yourself. And the strongest enemy that we'll ever conquer, that you'll ever face, and the first one you've got to conquer, is you. You've got to conquer yourself. Proverbs 16 and 32 said, he that ruleth his own spirit is better than he that taketh a city. To win right here means everything, and to lose means disgrace. In this war, you know, some time ago they interviewed one of the oldest and last great heroes of World War II. He fought in many of the major battles, was decorated with various decorations. And the guy that interviewed him asked him this question. He said, what was the greatest battle, the hardest fight that you can remember being in? To the shock of everyone there, he looked at him and he said, the hardest fight that I ever had was the fight I had with myself when I kissed my mama goodbye, shook hands with my daddy, and climbed on the bus to recruiter camp. Having defeated that, every other battle was secondary. Yes, when you got to in this war, you must overcome your family. Hey man, in the last days, sometimes a man's enemies will be those of his own household. Hey man, you've got to overcome your friends. Hey man, there's friends that mean well, that mean to drag you down. Hey man, there's peer pressure, and there is the devil himself that you must stand and fight with. But bless God, hey man, if you put on the whole armor of God, hey man, if you'll take the weapons of our warfare, if you'll fight the good fight of faith, hey man, the first crown is won. Hey man, and standing on that day, it's a victor's crown.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. And then he said, not only have I fought the fight, but I finished the course. The second crown, like the second run of the triple crown, it's a longer run. It's a lot of endurance. It's a race run fully and a course finished. Paul takes his illustration here, and I'm sure, from the Roman Olympic Games, the Grecian Olympic Games of Greece. And the rules for the race is this. First of all, they had to be a true-born citizen before they had any right to run. One of the things that's trying to happen in the hour that we're living in, amen, is we got folks, amen, that's never been born again, trying to live a born again experience. I told somebody a while back, I said, we got young people, we're asking young people to live a vision they've never seen. Amen. We saw the vision. We was there when our Red Sea rolled back. We was there when the water come out of the rock for us. But all they've heard is there. What they need to see is for themselves to run in this race. Amen. And to endure to the end. The first thing is, you got to have a real, genuine, blood-bought, blood-washed, amen, sanctified experience from the, hallelujah, from the glory world. Amen. Amen. Secondly, this race can only be run lawfully. There is a course. Amen. One young lady that came out of those years ago to missionary to Kentucky, you know, they said all those people in there that was because we was poor and ignorant and all that, you know, they're going to help us build our houses and convert and all this kind of stuff. And this young one lady said to me, she said, now, I thought preachers, they come to church. Well, I preach to them. Amen. We got a sign outside saying we were a holiness church. What do you expect when you come to a holiness church? And she said afterwards to me, she said, now we're on the same, we're going to the same heaven you are. Said we're just on different roads. She said, you know, said, it's different for everybody. Said we can both start out for New York. I can decide to go up the coast this way, you that way. But we're all going to New York. I said, young lady, with all due respect, we ain't talking about New York. We're talking about heaven. And there's just one way to the pearly gate. It's the old crossroad and the way called straight. And everybody that goes there will come the same way. We'll come in the same door where he said, I am the door. Amen. And we'll follow the same course. Amen. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Hallelujah. Amen. There's no shortcut to glory. The Hebrew writer tells us in chapter 12 that there is no weight. He that must lay aside every weight, there must be a temperance in all things. Amen. I've told the story. I read it years ago. I've told it for years across the country because it's such a divine, wonderful illustration of divine truth. In those days of old when we were being settled in the country and they were wagon trains going across the country and going to settle different countries. There was a wagon train that had went out to, I think, maybe the Oregon Trail even. But they had went out there and they were supposed to be, you know, somebody had mapped it out. There's supposed to be water to a certain place. And there'd been a horrible drought. They didn't know it. When they got there, there wasn't any water. And so they didn't have any idea where the next water would be. And there they were in dire straits. They didn't know what in the world they was going to do. Finally, the wagon master called the scout up, said, take the best horse we got, what little water we can spare, and go and just see if there's any hope. Ride as far as you can, amen, to see if there is water. And if there's not, in the time you can go and come back, there's no point in coming back. We won't be alive. It went on for a while, and finally one day, here come that scout back, riding his horse back, carrying all the water he could fill up in the canteens. He said, there is a river. But sir, it's a long way out there, and if we make it, there's only one hope. You're going to have to call together everybody here and tell them, we got to go as hard as we can go, as fast as we can go, as straight as we can go. So the wagon master brought everybody together and told them, said, look, you're going to have to lighten your load. If we make it, if we live, if we make the river, you're going to have to lighten your load. That means the old cast iron stove that you've got in there has got to go.
That means that that shift robe and that sideboard that she brought all the way from Europe, that was your great grandma's, is going to be left sitting beside of the road because we got to make it. And they began to shuck off everything they could. All those things they thought were precious, all those things they thought was necessary, they laid them aside. We got to run for the river. And they took off making their run. Church, I want to tell you this morning, amen, whatever it takes, amen, whatever you got to lay aside, whatever you got to come out from, amen, what are you, they're going to run this race. And there's just one chance, and we got to make it to the river. But if you get to the river, you'll be all right. Oh, hallelujah.
When they finally made it, they counted heads and noticed one wagon was not there. One man in his family was not there. A few days after they had time to recuperate and get themselves together, they sent a party back to find out what was going on. They found the horses dead, the cattle dead. They found the family dead. They noticed that the wagon was sitting and the wheels buried deep in the sand. They got to looking. And inside that, the spokes in that wagon, that man had drilled holes and poured gold in there. And rather than lose his gold, he lost his life. I preach a message sometimes called The Curse of the Monkey's Paw. Did you know that the way they trapped those monkeys years ago? They took a coconut and drilled a hole in it, just small enough for that monkey to stick his paw in there. And inside that coconut, they put little sparkly trinkets. And that monkey would look in there and see them and put his hand in there, his paw in there. And his paw would go in, but when he closed his paw up on that trinket, his paw wouldn't come back out. And those monkeys, rather than turn loose of their little old thing they'd got a hold of, allowed themselves to be caught and put in cages and sent to Jews, zoos all over the country. Hallelujah. On this first morning that I come to preach to you, is there something you're going to hold on to? Amen. That'll keep you from being free to climb out of where you are and run to the river. Amen. Is there anything in this world, amen, worth losing your soul over in this hour that we're living in? I'm telling you, we got to run to the river this morning. The wonderful thing about this second race is this. You may not have the speed of your neighbor sitting beside of you. You better have the ability of that one sitting in front of you. But this race is not to the swift. Amen. You may not be able to run as fast as your pastor can, but I tell what you, oh, hallelujah, I tell what you can do. You can be as faithful as he is. Amen. You can be as, amen, you can be as determined as they are. Run for endurance. Amen. For this race is not the swift. It's they that endure to the end. But if you'll make it all the way and run the course lawfully, amen, there may be a lot of people you think ahead of you. But I mean, tell them when you get there, I'm coming. Amen. I may be 24 hours behind you, but I started out to win this race. I started out to run. Amen. I'm not going to quit. I had a nephew who was as a younger man, made quite an impression in Ohio as a cross country runner. He was a distant runner. Amen. Until he blew out his knee and other things happened. He was up and rising and they were writing up papers or editorials about him and he was running. And he said this, and I never forgot it, the hardest part of the race is the middle ground. He said the first part you're fresh and said you've got everything before you and you're just worried about outdistancing those and you're running. He said that at the end of the race when you can see the ticker tape out yonder, amen, and see the ribbon stretched across, he said you put out your light, you get what you call a second wind and run for the, he said, but that middle part, when there's nobody to cheer you on, when there's nobody to say, come on, you can make it, amen, it takes nothing but dogged endurance, amen, I said I would and I will, that's what I'm talking about, listen, when I said, Jesus, if you'll help me, if you'll take this mess I'm in, if you'll make something out of it, I'll run for you, amen, I've been so low that I couldn't
hard to hold my head up. I heard that song the first time. I've been lied on, cheated, talked about, mistreated. I said, that's me. But I've never thought about giving up. I've been disappointed, and I have disappointed. Amen. I've had, hallelujah. I've had some times along the way, but I've made my mind up by the help of the grace of God. Amen. I might not be a swift, but one foot in front of the other. Push on and fight on. Weeping may endure for the night, but there'll be a joy. As sure as the sun went down, it's coming up again. As sure as there was a Black Friday, amen, there'll be a glorious Easter if you'll hang on and run this race. Hallelujah. 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 So I run and endure. Finally, Paul said, I've kept the faith. That's not as easy, and you know it's not, as it once was. Never has there been an hour, Pastor, when you felt the push from every side to compromise. Take it down just a little bit. Amen. Can't you change a little? One fellow said to me, he said, why are you so hard? I said, brother, I'm not hard. I said, what I'm preaching to you is what I believe. If you cut me, I bleed holiness. Amen. I believe what you're talking. I believe what he said when he said, follow after peace with all men and holiness without which no man. Glory to God. Paul said, I am set for the defense of the gospel. Amen. When God finally saved me, amen, called me to preach the gospel, I grabbed this old black back book and went to the barn, threw it there on the altar, and read it through from Genesis to Revelation. And as I read it through, I said, Lord, I don't have a holiness heritage. I can look back to people. All I know is God is what I'm reading. And I'm reading whatever. I promise you one thing. If you call me to preach, if you'll help me, I'll never preach anything I can't read out of a book. I don't care how popular it is. And I'll never fail to preach what I read in the book, no matter how unpopular it is. And all I ask thee, oh God, is to give me eyes to see. Amen. A voice to proclaim what I've seen faithfully. Amen. I want to be faithful. I want to come down to the end and say, I've kept this body of truth. Amen. I want to hand to the next generation, amen, what I have, and said, get it for yourself. It's in the book. Amen. This, my friends, is the true Triple Crown winner. Greater than the Kentucky Derby, the Belmont, the Preakness, is one day, the world screams in adulation as that jockey rides that horse into the winner's circle to receive the coronation and the triple crown. And the world screams and goes crazy. But what a day that'll be, my brother. If you've won the victory, amen. If you've endured to the end like a good soldier. And if you've kept the faith to walk into that winner's circle with 10,000 times 10,000 angels hushed, with all the host of them gone before that's fought the fight standing and hear him say, oh, doesn't it thrill your soul to the possibility of it? To think about him saying one of these days, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many. The real genuine Triple Crown winner. Amen. The only thing really worth anything in the end. Millions of dollars won't buy you a second. The greatest men of this world are forgotten here. But oh, if you've lived for him, if you've given him all, what a day that'll be when the saints go marching in.
Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Stand together this morning. Praise God. The Lord has dealt with us today. Sister Bethany's coming to the piano. While every head's bowed and every eye closed this morning, you here this morning, you feel like a loser. You feel like you ain't never won anything. Feel like everything you've ever tried has always fell apart. While she plays this morning, the Lord has given us a word. You can be a winner. The Lord is here to make you a winner. You hear this morning, you say, Brother Sam, I feel like everything I've tried, I've lost. But like every road I've went down, I failed. Seemed like everything was going to work out, but really just my luck or who I am has just turned it upside down. And here I am again. The Lord is here this morning offering you to be a winner. Offering you to win the crown. Offering you to win something. I'm telling you, I feel the Spirit of the Lord dealing with us right here in this altar. And you're here this morning and you feel like that you're just a loser. Maybe somebody told you you're just a loser. The Lord says, I'll make you a winner. If you'll come to me, I'll make you a winner. Somebody's here this morning, you're not right with God, why don't you come? Thank you, Jesus. Somebody else this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Somebody else this morning, maybe you got something you want to bring to the Lord. Something been hindering you. Maybe you're in the wagons this morning. There's something that you got to empty out this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. Something hindering you. Maybe you're in the wagons this morning. Something's hindering you. You want to come to God this morning. While the Spirit of the Lord is here this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. Somebody else here this morning, you're in the wagons. You're trying to make it to the river. Oh, God, help us this morning. Oh, God can make you a winner this morning. Hallelujah, God can make you something. Turn you into a champion. You know God can do it. God give you another chance. Why don't you come this morning? Others have already come. Hallelujah. I don't want to linger too long while the Spirit of the Lord is dealing and moving, pressing on those. You've got things in your life you want to give to God. Oh, right now's the time to give it to the Lord while the Lord's dealing with you. Right now's the time to come. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're here and you need help from God. You need a touch from the Lord. You've been wanting to come and pray. I'd like to pray with you this morning. Hallelujah. I'd like to pray for you this morning. Hallelujah. You need the Lord to help you. I want to pray with you. We want to pray with you this morning. Why don't you come? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everyone that will, let's gather in these altars.